nothing to be like. For our service for today, we will begin with a prayer and a call to worship, followed by a reading from the Gospel of the day, which is Matthew 5, 38 to 14. Our opening prayer for this year's annual general meeting, which we are having shortly, is "Come, Thou Fount of Ever-Blessing." It is an 18th century hymn that was written by Robert Robinson. And the backstory of this hymn is that Robert was 8 years old when his father died. He was a very bright boy, and he was also very stubborn. And he became increasingly more difficult to control, increasingly more difficult for his mother to handle. When Robert turned 14, her mother sent him to London for an apprenticeship to become a barber. I didn't know you had to go for an apprenticeship, even in those days, just to be a barber. The story says that Robert got into even more trouble. He was taking on a life of drinking and gambling at that young age. At 17, Robert and some of his drinking buddies decided to go to one of these revival meetings. And they didn't go there because they wanted to have a religious experience. They went there because they wanted to make fun of the preacher and to make fun of the service as well. It so happened that the preacher that night was George Whitfield, one of the best preachers in history. As soon as Whitfield began to preach, Robert felt that that sermon was written just for him. And in many of these meetings, the last part is called an altar call. If something really speaks to your heart, you are asked to come forward to the table, and there you receive a special blessing from the pastor and the elders. I would actually not invite you to come forward to the table, but if anything in this particular sermon touches your heart deeply, what you can do is you can just stand where you are and then sit again. You're making witness to this congregation that God is speaking to you. It also keeps all of us from falling asleep. Robert did not respond to that altar call that night. But the words of that preacher would haunt him for the next 3 years. And on December 10th, in the year 1755, at the age of 20, Robert finally surrendered his life to Jesus. And soon thereafter, he answered a call to ministry. And 3 years later, as I was preparing to preach a sermon on a Sunday in a chapel in England, Robert wrote, "Come Thou Fount of Ever-Blessing." And since then, that song has found its way to most Protestant hymnals in England and in the United States. It has become a favorite piece as well of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, which I would like you to hear today. And then after that, I'd like to go through that hymn with you and thank God for Queen East and another year of blessing. So here now, from the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, one of the biggest and oldest choirs in the world today, "Come Thou Fount of Ever-Blessing."
Thank you.
sing thy grace. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, fall for songs of loudest praise. The song begins with a hymn writer addressing God as the fountain, the source of all blessing. And he calls on God to come and tune his heart to sing God's grace. And he declares that God's grace are like streams of mercy that never cease. Like streams, they just keep flowing on and on. It is like the scripture says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercy never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Our experience of a God whose goodness is unchanging. It is good all the time and calls us to sing these songs of loudest praise. Here's the second stanza, if you could show up. Teach me some melodious song. Sound by flaming tongues above, praise the mount I've fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. And then he asks that God teach him some melodious song, that is sung by flaming tongues, a reference to the tongues of fire that settled on Jesus' followers gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. He likens God to a mountain, and it says that his eyes are fixed on God's redeeming love. Like a mountain, his gaze is fixed on God. And Robert describes his journey as one who walks in spiritual sorrow, hoping for a day when he will be released from the bondage of flesh and sin. And he declares that whatever happens, whatever comes, he will continue to sing God's praise. And then we have these famous lines. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. It is taken from the book of Samuel. After a long period of sadness and trouble because of their disobedience, Israel repents under the leadership of a new priest and pastor and judge. His name was Samuel. And together they recommitted their hearts and their minds to the Lord. It's the same thing I ask us to do today as a congregation. After another year, to recommit hearts and minds to God. Samuel takes a large stone. A picture of that is in your bulletin. That is placed between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshan in Israel. And he named it each Ebenezer, from two Hebrew words, Eben means stone and Ezer means help. So Ebenezer is the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Samuel places this large stone as a place of remembrance and a place of restoration. And he dedicates that as a monument to God's help and God's faithfulness and God's covenant. And as the people got on with their lives, that stone continued to stand there, visible to everybody who passed through. The Ebenezer stone represents a fresh beginning for God's people, and it can well be a fresh beginning for us at the beginning of every year. It is said that members of Alcoholics Anonymous can tell how long they have been sober. And the reason for that is they keep alive the memory of that last drink that they took. And with each new day, one day at a time, they go further and further down that road to freedom. And all that went before that is just water under the bridge. We all need an Ebenezer stone to serve as a perpetual reminder that we have been forgiven And that at one time in our lives we did choose that new direction. And that God has made a covenant with us to restore us and to continue to be good to us. And so Robert says, here I raise my Ebenezer, my stone of help, because with your help, O God, I have arrived at this place. And I can tell you those same words today. Here at Queen's, I raise my Ebenezer. Because since my first day on this pulpit, there has never been a time that I did not experience God's help. Here, by your help, I have come, he said, and I hope that it pleases you to bring me home safely. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. And then he speaks about this great turning that happened in his life. This is Robert's testimony, that it was Jesus who sought him out when he wandered from the fold, and that it was Jesus who rescued him, and that his kindness continues to pursue. And then it follows, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Hear my heart, Lord, take and seal it, take it. Seal it for thy court above. The hymn writer acknowledges that he owes a great debt to the fount of every blessing. And he asks that he be bound by God's goodness so that his wandering heart can be fettered, or if you will, tethered to God's love. Such a beautiful line. I wish that we could make that a special prayer. Bind my wandering heart to you, O God. Here's my heart. Take it and see it. I think there's a ring of truth to that statement. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we know that at one time or another, we too are prone to wander. And we feel that, and we feel how prone we are to distancing ourselves from those everlasting arms. We're aware of all of the ways that we choose to live outside of the will of God. In quiet moments, we become aware of what this means. Jesus says, the way of life is a narrow gate. Narrow is the gate that leads to life, but wide is the gate that leads to perdition. And so this hymn writer yields himself and gives himself in total surrender. Here is my heart, O God, take it. Seal it for your courts. It's like he was asking God to put a stamp of approval from here on out. His desire is never again to be separated from him. Never again to wander, never again to leave, but instead to devote an entire life to a friendship with that which is sacred, to be nourished by God alone, by grace alone, in the fount of every blessing. They say that in 18th century England, there was little in the way of a welfare system or what we today in Canada call social assistance. And that is why Robert had to go to work while he was still very young. And without a father to guide him and steady him, that may be why he fell in with bad company. A story recalls that one day his gang was harassing a drunken woman, or a gypsy woman, and they poured liquor on her, and they demanded that she tell their fortunes for free. And the story says that the gypsy pointed her finger at Robert, and she told him that he would live to see his children and his grandchildren. And that struck a tender spot in his heart. The story says that Robert told himself that day, if I'm going to live to see my children and my grandchildren, I need to change my life from now on. I can't keep on like this. And I really don't like the way that my life is going. That night, that revival meeting led by George Whitfield. And they were ready to pack up at that gathering. But then Whitfield was preaching on a dreadful text from Matthew, the same gospel that we just read today. And it said, "O generation of vipers," vipers, snakes, "who has warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come?" And Robert said that that left him with a deep sense of guilt. And that stayed with him for the next 3 years until he made peace with God and set out to become a Methodist preacher himself. And finally, after a difficult and a rather confused life, he finally found the fount of every blessing. And he couldn't contain his joy when that moment did come and arrive in his life. And that last stanza. The next one. Is there a next one? Is the story of his life. "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh take and seal it, for thy courts above. Prone to wander, indeed." Because after becoming a Methodist pastor, in a few years Robert left and joined the Baptists. And then after that, he became a friend of one Joseph Priestley, who was a Unitarian. And Unitarians are people who deny the full divinity of Christ. Robert died on June 9, 1790. And the people around him could not help but ask this question: did he leave the God he loved? And another story says that one day, as he was riding on a stagecoach, a lady asked him what he thought about him, that she was coming. And she was coming, "Come, thou come," of every blessing. Robert's response was, "Madam, I am the poor unhappy man who wrote that hymn many, many years ago. And I would give 1,000 worlds if I could own them. And if I could once again enjoy the feelings that I had then." And the woman answered, "Sir, the streams of mercy are never ceasing." May the words of this song be our inspiration as a congregation, as we celebrate our annual general meeting today. May each of us, dear sisters and brothers, receive each day and pray before we sleep, before we go to bed at night. "Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise." Amen.